Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chambi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chambi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good evening. Good evening, dear listeners. Welcome to Business and Economic Segment with me, David Chambi. It's that time of the evening that we discuss business, economics, and everything that affect our bread and butter. We look at the aspect of food security, policy making, practical and pragmatic politics, the politics beyond speaking, and also the politics of practical implementation. And also we look at the role that the Namibians are playing in making sure that we achieve our national developmental priorities at an individual level, at the community level, and indeed at the national level. And we are greeting you from a number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And you know, we understand that some of you are resting. Some of you are on your way back home. Some of you are on your way to work. Some of you are just starting to push, because there is a saying to say you must push until the wheel fall off. You must not give up. And it's very important to make sure that you understand the tools that you are using. If you are using bows and arrows to fight the battle in front of you, make sure you understand them very well. If you are using a pen and a paper, making sure that you know and you understand how to use them. If you are on the top of a building, or you are driving a taxi, be the best taxi driver as you can. If you are a security guard, do not need to be demoralized, be the protector. Because one thing that you should not take away from a human being is that in every sector, there is always somebody who stands out. Even the poorest of the poorest, there is always that resilient one, that active one. And also that who is able to push beyond the obvious. Like I indicated, BS, we took BS on the ground, and we are operating from this end of Kunene region, and we are operating, you know, this area of Sandfontein and also Francefontein, and also look at climate resilient project, and also look at the areas of farming to say what are the farmers doing, and also how are the reactions, and also how are the response of those who are assisted, of those who money is invested into them, and also what are the challenges and opportunities, particularly looking at smallholder farmers, and also maybe to look at the aspect of human involvement, human capital involvement, and also the young people. Because my concern and the center of argument is always to make sure that what can we do to the young people of Namibia, particularly the graduate, and most importantly also those who are not fitting in any category of description, those who are only able, but they were not able to complete the academic school, or they were not able to complete the normal schooling life. What can we do? How should they be trained? Are they interested in economic development? What are they interested in? And also, it's also a trend, and also maybe also a matter of interest to say, what is that was done to make sure that not only the elders, but also young people have made sure that they come back to their community and they do what they can do best. What do we do when we leave the village and go to towns? Even if we have acquired knowledge and skills, what are we bringing back home? And also, what are the new skills that we are bringing back home? And we are indicating to say, we are here from the hour of, 1800 hours until the hour of, 1900 hours. Before we go to the conversation for today, we go to food security, and also before we go to what farmers do, particularly in the context when, Environmental Investment Fund and also Ministry of Agriculture invested around 164 million in, climate, resilient projects in Kunene region. What are those farmers doing? And also, lesson that I have learned today is that we may be in the same classroom, we may be having the same best teacher, but there is always that student that to stand out, and there are also those who continue to struggle. This is seen on the results, particularly looking at the farmers, and also what lesson can be learned from this. Yeah, for those of you who are coming on the radio for the first time, this is Business and Economic Segment with me, David Shombe. And before we go to the main conversation for today, it's quite paramount, it's quite important, it's quite crucial to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, because Namibia is not only, standing alone, or is not living in an island. We are operating within a global community. Most importantly, we are operating within our mother continent, that is Africa. And when Africa is thriving, Namibia is also thriving. And when Africa is under threat, Namibia is also faced those direct or indirect consequences, and we are looking at that context. Now, let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. Recently, it was indicated that when you look at Burkina Faso, particularly the government of Captain Ibrahim Traore, there is one interesting thing which have happened, especially when Burkina Faso transition parliament just yesterday, they have approved a bill that is banning all political parties. If you have political interest in Burkina Faso, you must wait until, Captain Ibrahim Traore has, maintained and also making sure that strengthen his power and put the countries in order. And regardless of United Nations chief indicating to say Burkina Faso must make sure that human rights and the principles of governance must be adhered to, and also people must be given opportunity to have their political rights. It's indicated that the transition parliament on Monday approved that bill that banning all political parties, and also allow the military leadership to control power, and also to make sure that when it comes to critical decisions, is centered to the top. When it's coming to critical decision, is centered to the top. But what is also interesting is that the willingness of the people of Burkina Faso, and maybe to see that is how they are operating, maybe to see that is politics with a little bit of African philosophy. But it's also a question also to look at to say, is this willingly, is this the system that we want, or is this system beneficial to people? And it is also bringing a lot of questions, especially the scholars of governance, to say when it comes to governance, when it comes to politics of the day, which best system is fitting for Africa, and which best system is serving the people? And is Burkina Faso moving forward, or is Burkina Faso also continue to struggle like how it has been? So it's a question that need critical assessment, and also to see, because we need to analyze beyond the politics of governance and the politics of leadership, and also to look at the economic indicator, look at security, look at freedom, look at local businesses, and also see to see what are some of the changes since Ibrahim Traore came to power. Is this real development? Is this politics of realism, or is this a different form of politics? That is what is happening. And also to say, when the UN is indicating this aspect, is it only in Africa where you see characters of total control of the state, or is also seen in other countries, particularly the Western country and also the Eastern countries? And also, what is the long-term impact of banning all political parties? Were they serving their purpose within that zone of Burkina Faso? But what is interesting is that every country has the right for sovereignty and also the right for self-determination. If parliament, which is a lawmaking house of Burkina Faso, indicated to say all political parties must wait, and while the military junta is consolidating power. But what is interesting is also that it's also a critical moment in Burkina Faso, especially when it comes to the aspect of security, because of what is alleged to be external involvement, either is opposition party funding, either is funding of NGOs. But what is interesting is that in July, Burkina Faso authority has also gave a restriction, especially when it comes to non-governmental organizations, to open their books and also to open and maintain cash accounts exclusively with a state-run bank, because of what is old to say when it comes to the security of Burkina Faso. If you have an NGO and you have external funding, make sure that those fundings are open, and also you bank with a state-controlled bank and some matter of security. And also to say that every region has its own way of dealing with issues. If here we are dealing with unemployment, other countries are dealing with hunger. Other countries, such as the Sahel region, they are still stuck in the fight of jihadists, the terrorists, particularly religions-based terrorists. And that is one of the things that has led into that aspect. And moving forward, when it comes to another member of the Sahel region, Mali. Mali has created a company to manage mining holdings. And in this aspect, Mali also want to, or is controlling, largest production of Mali minerals. And also there have been a lot of fights, particularly between Mali and also international company, especially in the aspect of mining. And it was indicated that the creation of a mining company in Mali come after a long fight between the Canadian miner Barrick Gold and also Mali government, especially when it's coming to profit sharing. And in this aspect, it is stated that Bamako had introduced new industry code in recent years, granting a bigger share of profit from mining activities in the name of national sovereignty. And it's interesting because at the center of African colonialism, at the center of African economy, is a question of who own the main industry, the people benefiting from the resources of their country. And also interesting to say who really negotiating these deals, particularly when you have a standing government and you also have international institution and also international company that are calling the shots in the name of, you know, I own because I own the resources, I own the machines, I own the market. And also to say, is this a right move? And is control of the state of minerals really going to be beneficial to the people of Mali? Or is going to create another form of, you know, new political elites? But because when you look at the theories of what is stated to say the theory of capitalism. If you read Marx or Karl Marx, which is one of the most controversial political economists and thinker, it's indicating that through the capital, once people, or under the state, took control of the resources, or once the proletarian took control of the resources, there is another class which is formed, and that class which is formed is also the new bourgeoisie, or the new owner of the means of production. And you can also take it in the context of a locality to say, if I'm very poor and for a very long time I have been fighting to get control of the resources, what is going to change me once I get in charge of those resources? Am I not going to behave the same way like those who are looking that they are not controlling the resources? But it's a question of criticality also to say, what is a new methodology, particularly in terms of state control of mining in Mali? And also a question of that you need to ask to say, when the Prime Minister of Canada, for example, the former banker, when he was speaking, particularly during the World Economic Forum summit, to say this international, this global agenda of, you know, the new world order, and also the aspect of international law has been a scheme, and the middle power, they are also suffering. And also to ask a question to say, when it comes to Canadian minerals, mining corporations, particularly those who are operating in Africa, are they really benefiting, or do we really need to sign with individuals, particularly when you are in trouble, you are speaking to say the world need to move this way, but are these really helping the people of Mali, or this is the right way? And you need to be very clear to say, when you are doing a monitoring and evaluation of the impact of your minerals or the impact of your resources, you should also come to the conclusion of what is an ordinary person going to gain. And also maybe a question also to ask ourselves also to say, particularly when we are at a very interesting time where the state is looking at beneficiation of mineral resources and also ending very, and also making sure that those who are in need are also catered for. And it's also a question that, really need to be looked at, especially when it comes to the beneficiation, to say, when you have resources, are these resources really benefiting? And also the critical question, and I think it's also going to be ended, especially to the conversation of tomorrow early morning scoop, when we'll be speaking about the informality or the informal economy, particularly looking at if we put our resources on the table, who is the main contributor to the GDP of the country? Is it the main national wealth, or is it those who are at the edge of economic development? Yeah, the main conversation for today, as I indicated, that we are operating from France Fontaine, since Fontaine, this area of Kunene region. It was interesting today, especially being in the field, because my interest is always on how do people survive, especially at dry climate, and also what are some of the qualities of individual, particularly those who prove themselves, and also why other people in the same condition, having the same resources, why others are succeeding and why others are finding it difficult to succeed, especially given the same project. But while we are there is also something that is also interesting also to say, when it comes to farming, particularly the dry climate, what are some of the challenges that these individuals are facing? And we'll be in conversation with these farmers. And also, is it interesting also to have an observation to say, when you are farming closer to town and you are not taking care of your cattle or your goats, you are most likely to suffer. Either is stock theft, unlike somebody who farm deep down the mountains or deep down the forest, because that person has control. But if you are closer to town, it's also quite interesting to see. And also an observation to say, what are the strategies that are being used when a person is assisted? When we see numbers, when you see numbers to say, there's a project Payaye, for example, when we see numbers of 160 million invested in Kunene region, what are the people who receive that do with that assistant? What are they doing with that? And are they still continue asking for assistance, or are there also those who keep the ball running? And we also come to the point of saying, we may be in the same class, we may be having the same books, we may be having the same teacher, but when it comes to the strategies of studying, when it comes to skills of leadership, when it comes to skills of human relation, it's interesting also to see that other people are moving ahead, while others are also struggling also to get into the content. But I also get into the conversation with Mr. Aton Joseph, especially when we are speaking about the minister. He's an agriculture technician and is in charge of running this resilient project. I have to ask him questions to say, why are other people succeeding? Why others are not succeeding? Particularly if you give them the same training, if you give them the same amount of livestock to farm. And also ask a question to say, in all this aspect, why is always the elders, why is always those who have grown up the one who are willing to sacrifice and continue producing why is agriculture not attracting young people? What is the case? Because when I look at, and it's interesting also to see when you look at, example, this Minister of Agriculture project and EIF, when you look at, you know, what the farmers, smallholder farmers have got, when you look at, there is one interesting, example of indicator to say somebody is given 20 goats to farm, and they give back 20 goats after making profit. They give birth, and through that, you realize to say there's a bit of a difference, especially in production. How come somebody was able to expand the production of her stock to more than 100 goats, and the other person also expanded with only 1 to 2%? Why somebody was able to triple or quadruple her livestock, why another person, even if they are in the same region? It is so interesting also to say that, to teach us as human beings to say, sometimes I may cry for help, but I also need to use my common sense. And one farmer, Miss Ingrid Hagen, is a success story. And a success story because I have to ask her to say, what are some of the challenges if this place there was drought? What are some of the challenges that you have encountered? And she indicated to say, it's cooperation with other people. If I'm faced with a drought situation, I have to collaborate with others to say, if you have an area where I can graze my goats, we can cooperate. And to that extent, it's a survival strategy. But you also have other farmers also who decided to say, no, it's a situation. I got this project, some are dying, but never thought outside the box. Maybe it's also a lesson also to understand to say, once you got assistance, sometimes you need also to use your skills. And I've seen it happening even with this project, which is it has been given by various ministries, particularly assisting SMEs in constituencies and also in various regions, to say when some young people or when some businesses are given equipment, when equipment is not working, they are able to use their savings and also to upgrade their equipment. But you realize to say when others' equipment are not working, they are making them standing there, or they are selling them and the business stop. And what also lesson have we learned, especially from the farming strategies and also the lesson of resilience? But interesting is also that I realize that there's a lot of things that we do not know, especially when it comes to living in difficult situation. I remember there was a time that our president gave a very good example to say, Namibia, we have survived one of the strongest armies in Africa at that time. We have a history of resilience. That's why we are brave people. But if you also see that, we are faced with challenges, particularly the challenges which we are faced now, there is some spirit that can also indicate that within the land of the braves are still there. There are still people who continue fighting. There are still people who are brave enough also to, continue fighting. Even if you are losing your cattle or your goats during drought, there are also those who are resilient. And one thing also which I have found out today is the relationship that you build between, you and animals that you are taking care of. And also to realize to say, there is also a need to build a relationship to say animals can also get stressed if you are not taking care of them. And if you are angry, they will get angry. And if you build a good relationship, and you'll be able to listen to some of the farmers who I got into conversation with them, and also the agricultural technician, also to understand this aspect, and also understand where we are operating from. Because when you are looking at this context, you will also be able to to realize that apart from building a relationship with what you are heading, there is also an aspect of the market. Market is necessary. And one thing which I have seen is that some of the people may be really working hard, but the thing of market access is a challenge. And also, I think, I don't know if it's the Ministry of Agriculture, if it's, what the state also have to intervene to say, yes, we want people to produce their own food, but what about the market? How are the international businesses, and also how are the businesses within a community working with, this individual? So when we are at that point, it's also to say, I may be producing enough, but what is my market? That's why you'll be able also to listen to say some of the challenges that these individuals are facing is a market. Yeah, because, the market is very interesting because you find, individuals indicating to say when it comes to fresh produce, the bigger, people who are in the market of agriculture, they have preference, and the community sometimes when they want to make profit, they also find it very difficult, especially dealing with, finding the market. And also to say, asking a question also to say, if what has been stated, particularly, I love the words of Prime Minister Dr. Eriangorari, when at one point indicated to say, why can't we use local skills? Why can't Namibian children fix school chairs and tables if they went to vocational training centers? And the question should also be, why are Namibian farmers not be able to produce food for the industry? Because sometimes you realize to say, we may be having enough food, but the problem is that the market is not conducive, the market is not accommodative, and it's not me who is saying, you'll be able to listen from the farmers themselves, and you'll be able also to understand where they are operating from. And one thing which really touched me is the young people. The young people, I remember having an interview again with one of the farmers from Mamaheke, who indicated to say, even if we have this project, the young people, I don't know why they are not interested. But maybe it's also a question of looking at what one of the Dr. Tent, a farmer, Tamara Hepikaunda, said. So that'd be a very interesting Zambian lady who said, we must make agriculture sexy. We must make agriculture attractable. We must also making sure that the young people are attracted to food security, because every day you eat, every day you wear, every day, you eat three times a day. Those who are like, even if you are not eating three times a day, ask yourself that question to say, where are these food coming from? And, why are we not interested in agriculture? Because you really find people who have land and agriculture is still downgraded or is still left to be dealt with, especially by the elders, the old, and also the one who are retired. But imagine if you have an agricultural student, agricultural science graduate, who is at an area like Sesfontein, it's an area like Fransfontein, and be able to embark on such projects, we'll be able to make a lot of money. A goat is small and is 1.2, and you also find a goat at 1.5. And when you are making your calculation to say somebody was making to triple the numbers of goat's production to hand to over 100 within the zone of not more than 5 years, then you'll be able to realize that if that off has been continue to be increased, or if Namibian people have been continued to be capacitated and also willingly also avail themselves to agriculture, there is no way that we are not going to defeat this food insecurity. And the agenda is very clear. The positive agenda of national development is very clear to say Namibia to feed itself, and also Namibia to make sure that it powering itself. If we have resources, if we have source of energy, if we have land, if we have finance, why can't we feed and power ourselves? Because it's a game changer. And if you look at what has been advocated, particularly during the administration of the founding father, is to feed ourselves. Because when you feed yourself, then you cut out the supply from the outside, and you also start supplying to those who are in need. And when you do that, you can also be able also to power yourself too. To say, imagine if we have our own food, and we also have our own electricity, how much money are we going to generate, and also how are we going to build the institution of our young people, and also the future of Namibia. And there is this breed of dog which is being being made fun, especially on social media, to say this breed of dogs are resilient, they are the hustlers, and they can survive anyway. Then one of my observation, you know, this dog that we call Spotty, this dog at the village, that sometimes they don't need vaccine. Sometimes you can find them anywhere. You find them in town. You find them, surviving on their own. They're attending weddings and funerals sometimes, and also parties, surviving on their own. I realize also to say, having different kinds of breeds in Namibia, you have the Chihuahua, the Bulldog, the Pitbulls, and many others. I realize that this specific kind of dog are also the one that we are seeing at this dry environment. To say they are survivors, and they are also being trained to head, to head the goats. And I realize to say we must really pay attention to this kind of dog, because that is a special that we have for Africa, because they are also resilient, especially when they are surviving with climate. And it's also very interesting also to realize to say sometimes we may be willing, but we do not have skills. That's why academic skills still matter, especially in time of climate changes, because one of the things which I have also realized is that and it's very tactical and maybe strategic too, especially when it comes to, you know, breeding with animals that can survive climate. If you're in a mountainous area, you are breeding with animals that can climb mountains to go and look for food. If you are in savannah, you have to use those who can survive within the environment. But interesting about our favorite dog, that one, I've seen it anywhere. In the mountains, helping goats, and also everywhere, and also realize to say there are also those all around us to say, come thunder, come fire, they will also be able to be there. And also, the other aspect is also maybe also to look at our academic and practical application of agricultural skills, to say, could it be that maybe our agricultural teachers are not trained properly? Could we agree that our agricultural teachers, maybe some of them are not willing to be practical? Apart from having a garden at school, they are not willing to give good examples. Maybe also to the department of those who are teaching agricultural science, and also courses related to food security, to say, sometime if you are showcased, if you have a good example, or if you'll be able to bring this successful and also farmers who face challenges also to become the guest lecturers at your universities or at your college, at your vocational center, and also look at the numbers. Because in most cases, it's the money that we want, but we really know where the money is coming from, and we really know what we need to do. Because sometimes we may have resources, but due to lack of knowledge and also lack of just skills to get in, then we are continue to be faced with those challenges. Because Professor Lumumba indicated to say, Africans are given minerals, but they give 100% to the foreigners, and Africans continue to pray God to give them assistance. When are we going to wake up? Africans are given, resources. They have land. They have animals. They have also education, but they are still crying to say, continue assisting us. And there is also one thing which I've also learned to say. Sometimes being assistant is a good thing, but also if you assist yourself while you are assisted, you are moving far. And also to realize to say, when it comes to farming, it does not matter the difficulty of the situation. there is an element of human qualities of survival, particularly building relationship with others. Because if you build that relationship with others, particularly when one of the farmers indicated to say, during dry season, I don't just sit down, but I also have to talk to my neighbors, and I also have to find where I can also find places where I can graze my cattle. But others are saying, things that you gave me here, they are dying, and things that you gave me here, they are not progressing. But it's interesting also to look at the future. But for now, let us look at the voice of those who are on the ground and also those who are at the front line of national economic development, particularly from the state, from the small holder farmers, and we'll continue with the conversation. Yes, we are moving forward with the business and economic segment, and today we'll be speaking about farming, particularly farming with goats at dry climate, and also to understand, also to say, what are the challenges and also opportunities when it comes to farming. And today in the studio we'll be joined by one of the smallholder farmer in this area of Francefontein, and that is Mr. Morora. And just to engage us about the benefits, the challenges, and also what are some of the things that you need to keep in mind too, especially when you want, you know, to increase that area of food production. And also what is very interesting is also that there are those who are complaining, but there are also those who are working hard. And Mr. Morora is one of the beneficiary of a program by Ministry of Agriculture and AIF. However, today we're going to speak about the business of goat. Mr. Morora, good evening, and how are you doing?
Good evening. I'm good, and you?
No, I'm doing very well. Maybe just in general, before you engage into farming with goat, what have you been, what made you interested in goat farming, and also what drive passion of farming, particularly in this area of Francefontein?
Okay, thank you very much for the question. What drives me in farming is I actually get back to my the farm, because I'm done with the city life.
Okay.
So I have decided to come and start my farming at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I started with one goat.
Yeah,
I bought that one, and I was having that one. Then I bought two more.
Yeah,
and from there I got a ram.
Yeah.
A present from Charagaibes.
Okay.
So from there, while I was traveling with seven goats, Irema came.
Yeah.
And they gave me 20 goats.
Yeah.
And a male.
Mm-hmm.
One buck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe just because some of us, we just see a person as goats, and we are saying it was easy. But what are some of, what are the characters or qualities of a farmer with goat? What are those things that a person need really to be careful about, need to take care of for you to maintain this, you know, goat farming? What do you need to know as a farmer? Because some people, they may have money, but they don't have the skills. Maybe just from that area.
Farming is not just any business. Farming is hard work.
Okay.
Yeah, you need training. So we are receiving training from agriculture. We are receiving training from AgriBank, and so on. So we are choosing those trainings to get our things in order. Because medicine is part of the training which we are getting also, to keep ourselves healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And draft time, we know what to do, what measurements to take, and feeds and stuff that we are also getting training from. And I can say it's really a challenging thing. It's not just anybody's business, ne? Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Maybe moving forward, apart from training, what other challenges have you also faced, particularly when you are farming with goats? Either is what are some of the challenges that you face when you are farming with goats, and also maybe also to give an example of the point where you were feeling like you want to give up, because it's business. You say this is not an easy business, and also what kept you moving before we move?
Yeah, actually, what I can say is the challenges which are there is mostly drought.
Okay.
Drought is a problem. I was facing drought when I was receiving these goats. I lost a lot. I lost from my side. I lost from Irema's side. But I said to myself, no, I cannot stop. When the rain came suddenly, I felt, now I must get up. I must go forward, and let me go do my study.
Yeah. Now, how do they feed? Are they also feeding from these yellow flowers I'm seeing here, or how do they graze and how do you keep them safe?
Grazing, yeah. They survive from these yellow flowers. They survive from others, only others. I actually have an area which I came out for me as a farm, where I took always my goats where they are feeding. So that's a very nice area. They are called kabas. In our language, we call those trees kaba trees. And they are very good for goats and stuff. Furthermore, if there is drought, I go out in the field. I get collect food for them, and I come and feed them also in the crops. It's just that they are going out by themselves. I'm also with them, and I'm make sure that they are fitting.
Yeah, maybe there's also something that you also need to tell us, because I've seen that when you get into the club, there's a good relationship. Are the goats also like those where you have to develop a good relationship with them? Do they know you? Or how do you build that relation also for them to have that connection to as a farm?
Everything comes with love.
Okay.
If you love them, they love you. Yeah. So we go together in the field. I talk to them and I listen. They are the ones following me. I'm the leader. I'll show them where to come and eat, and they come. So that's a thing. That's our relationship.
Maybe the last question is about young people and farming. Looking at this area, I've been here since also yesterday. I was looking around, but I hardly see young people engaging into farming. What are they engaged into? Or do you also have some young people who are into farming? Or what's really happening in the area, particularly in the area of cattle and also goat farming? Because it's also a real business.
Yeah. Actually, young people, you get only maybe 10% who are interested in goats farming, of any farming. Yeah. The thing is, the government is doing its best to give us these trainings and stuff, but you won't even find young people in the training. It's only old people who are there. So I need to say these young people, they must get up. They must stand for themselves and leave these old people out.
Yeah, let's before I let you go, let us look at the future. Let's say things go according to plan. Rain come as it has been expected. What is your future plan in the next 5 years, particularly looking at this goat farming? What is your future plan in the next 5 years?
What I'm planning is in the next year, I want to resolve my goats.
Okay.
I'm praying that I only will get now female goats, because the last time I got only male. That's worries I was having. So, but I will make plans and I will come to that. But in the 5 years, my crop will be better than the others.
Yeah, maybe the last one also. What is the message that we have to farmers who they want to start? Some of them, they are also not really sure. And there are also those who, there is this things of paralysis by analysis. They are over planning, but they are not moving. But they want to get into farming. What is the message that we have to them, particularly in the area of goats?
What I can say is, guys who are planning, those who are planning, stop planning.
Yeah.
Start with the project.
Yeah.
Do it. It's normally doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
You can start with one goat.
Yeah.
You can start with two. But at the end of the day, you will be benefiting. So please, guys, get up and do this farming.
Okay, Mr. Morora, thank you for joining us at Business and Economic segment. Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much. All good evening, man. All
right. Yes, dear listeners, we are continuing with Business and Economic segment. As I indicated that we took Business and Economic segment to the field, we are here in Francefontein, and I'll be in conversation with Joseph Anton. He's an agricultural technician from the Ministry of Agriculture, Water and Land Reform. And we are speaking about farmers in, this side of Kunene region. And we also got an opportunity to go in the field and also met various farmers who have been assisted by the Ministry of Agriculture. And also we have, success and also challenges, particularly when it comes to farming. But we also met those who benefited, and it was quite successful. But as you heard from one of the farmers that I have interviewed, I'm now in conversation with a guy who is at the center of running this project. That's to give us an overview of what is happening, what are challenges, what are opportunities, and also how he has been progressing. Mr. Joseph, good evening and welcome to Business and Economic segment. How are you doing?
Good evening, Chief. I'm doing good. How is it?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Let me just get the general overview, the line of your work, particularly dealing with this project. How did it started, and also, you know, what can you really say, particularly with working at this area of Franschhoek? What can you really say? Some of the things that this project we have achieved so far.
Yeah, my name is Anton Joseph. I'm a technician from the Ministry of Agriculture, Fishery, Water and Land Reform. So I came here in the Kulin region, Franschhoek, in 2023. Unfortunately, when I came, the project from IREMA EIF already started. So I got it already on the ground already. So I just continued where it started. Now, in my view, when my view, this project it's a very good project. It's a very good initiation. And all the farmers that benefited, they're doing good. Coming from the goats, the garden, community garden, because we also have farmers that also got on small gardens, gardening materials are doing good. So, a general overview, overview of it, everything. I'll just say that the project it's a very good project, and I would like projects like this to come again in the future.
Yeah. Now, when we are here, let us look at because we went to two beneficiaries. One of them has faced challenges, he indicated, particularly with drought, but we have also seen a success story. I was so surprised to see what's the name again? The meme who was successful of multiplying those goals until 100 and also having a strong human capital there.
Is Ingrid Higgin.
Now, comparing with these two farmers, what can you say has assisted, particularly the successful farmer, and also what can you really say is an advantage that other farmers also who benefited should learn, particularly when it's come to dealing with goats, because there's a bit of a difference, although they did not get assistance at the same time, there's a bit of a difference in terms of how they dealt with the project and also their farming strategies.
In my opinion and experience, I think it's just about the seriousness of the farmer, because we train them equally, we advise them equally, we support them equally. But now farmers' mentality is different. There's a difference in management. So farmers who are serious and see this as a big opportunity and change and a life changing opportunity, they tend to push extra, even to put, because the project is, we give you the goats, we help vaccinating, but extra, when it's drought, you buy your own feed from your own pocket. Yeah. So other farmers, instead of now are pushing from the government to assist them, they are using their own capital. To make sure that their goats don't survive during drought. So they buy for feed from Agra, from other shops, for their just support the time is drought. So that's why you see sometimes you get farmers got goats at the same time. But one is doing good, one is doing bad. It's about management and
So it's about also taking ownership and the seriousness also. Yeah, now let us look at when we are at this area, it's not the same compared to the southern part of Namibia geographically. You look at also northern part of Namibia geographically. But in terms of goats, do you have specific goats that you give to the farmers? And also, what is a differentiating factor, particularly to the breeds of goats that you also giving to this, farmers looking at the environment and also the area itself?
Our main target, the goats, we give the indigenous goats that are from the area.
Yeah.
That already been farmed by the forefathers of the farmers that are in the area.
Yeah.
So mostly in this area of Kulene, farmers have been farming with the bull goat, the one with the red, white, and the red neck. And also Kalahari red. So we tend to focus on those ones because they survived already here. So because if you get goats from somewhere far, they come straight to adapt here. And the aim of the project is to be sustainable, is to move forward. So we give indigenous goats that are from the area. So that they're already from the area, so that they just do better from there.
Yeah. Yeah, before we come to gardening, my concern is also on youth development, because I have seen, and also, you know, looking at the statistics to say youth unemployment is very high. And also, what are your considerations, particularly in assisting these people, and also maybe to look at the activeness and also the seriousness of young people, particularly in terms of farming? Are the young people not interested, or you also have those who are interested in farming, particularly in this area? Because I was also surprised to see the price of a goat and also the market to say we will become wealthy here, particularly not only through the project, but also when you start on your own.
Our project, most criteria here, we focus on youth and women. That's what we want to do. We want to empower youth and women. But in my observation, as I came here, youth, I think the seriousness, the interest in farming, I don't know, because I think it's lack of knowledge, or they fear to farm. Uh-huh. They fear to farm in youth. But we have some individuals. We have two beneficiaries under the age of 25 that are benefiting right now. So now we want to use them as an example to other youth that you can do it. It's not difficult. And then one thing is, one of our criteria is there must be a full-time farmer. Stay at the farm. So challenges for the youth don't stay at the farm mostly. Youth opt to go to school, youth opt to go to towns to look for employment, then farming. They see farming as a not really opportunity for them.
But you know, if somebody, let me say, somebody come to your ministry, I know you are deployed here, but let me say you are working in this area. Somebody come from this area and say, no, I studied agriculture, I have these two goats, and I have this project. Do you have additional assistance, particularly to those who are very serious? Because, you know, when you look at the numbers, particularly numbers of goats, we understand there are challenges, ne? But the outcome is also beneficial and also maybe sustainable when you are working hard. If young people organize themselves and come, how would you assist them, or where will you refer them? Would you also give training apart from this program, particularly to those young people who say the town life is not for me, but my parents maybe have a small plot, I can come?
Those are the people that we are looking for, that we want. As long as you come at the office as a youth, you are serious, you have two goals, one. We'll try all our means to assist you. In terms of training, as a ministry, we do training. That's our mandate as our directorate, is to do training, to capacitate our farmers to the knowledge and inform them what's happening. So we give training, and then in terms of youth that are serious, either we refer them to other stakeholders like EIF to see if there are a bit of funds to assist the youth with ideas. Or we wait for the opportunity when the project comes in, then we can able to assist them through the project. Yes.
Yeah, maybe just before we come to the conclusion, maybe what are some of the key challenges that we are faced with, particularly because we have the project of farming, and there's also a project also of, gardening. What are key challenges, particularly long term? We can speak on the market, we can speak on the price, we can also speak on the sustainability, and also how is the community responding to these, initiatives?
When it comes to gardening, it's mostly the market.
Okay.
Yeah, market is if we focus, like projects that we have now, if we focus on bigger garden, the challenge is it's market.
Okay.
You're producing a lot, but there's no way to sell them. And also transportation to market. Let's say now, like here in Korea, the closest town, big town we have here, is Korekas and Ocho. So transporting the produce to Ocho is also difficult. So that's the most biggest challenge they're facing. And then when it comes to skills, we are there. We are training. Our doors are open. We do trainings. We are always 100%. We are always at the gardens. When it comes to livestock, the main challenge was drought.
You don't have livestock theft here?
I'm going to theft. Stock theft, we have it. Most of the farmers who are farming close to towns. Those ones are experiencing stock theft. They are struggling with it. But farmers who are farming a bit inland, those ones are safer there. Because they are difficult to. And then our main challenge also here in our garden here in Franschfontein, it was theft. Yeah, it was theft. Because it's inside the community. Yeah, so we struggle. People, we produce, and when you come in the morning, you find people store stuff.
Mr. Anton, just the last one, as we are in business and economic segment, just you have been in the field, you are dealing with farmers, you are in contact with them, I understand you speak the language too, but let's look at, I want you to advise particularly our young people on the benefit of farming. It looks like a cliche, but looking at the numbers, I look at the numbers of goats, I look at the numbers of fruits being produced, I look at the hectares, and I realize to say this is a business more than what we do in town also, because if you have the products, then there is a market. Maybe what is your advice, and also maybe how do you think it's also the to make agriculture also attractable to the youth? The last word.
First thing I would say, a human being needs to eat every day.
Yeah.
And mostly eat 3 times a day.
Yeah.
The question is, where is the food coming from? It's been produced by a farmer.
Yeah.
That's already an opportunity.
Yeah.
Because food is a need, it's not a want.
Yeah.
Need eat to survive.
Yeah.
Let's break it down to, for example, if you're an adventure in tomatoes.
Yeah.
Every household
put
tomatoes in their cooking soup. That's already an opportunity. So my advice to the youth, most of us youth, we grew up in a household whereby our parents already planting something, having chickens or having small goats or cattle. Agriculture is something that we grew up with, us.
Yeah.
So if our parents were able to do it on a smaller or even on a smaller scale, why not us?
Yes. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah, you have heard it yourself. You have heard it yourself. Particularly from some of the farmers and also agriculture technicians and also to
care that helps you care for others. That's the basic mental health first aid course, free for NHP members. You learn how to spot early signs of mental or emotional distress in friends, family, or colleagues, and how to guide them to the right support before small struggles become bigger problems. Learn more and register for free at nhp.com.na. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at vurmanbrock.com. We care.
And also agriculture technicians, and also to indicate to say the question is, at what lesson have you learned?